As I settle down to pray, I begin with a preparatory prayer. Dear God, may all my intentions and actions be directed purely to your service and praise. And as I sit here in prayer before the God who loves me, I stop to consider, how is God looking at me now? If I have no sense of how God looks at me, I ask him directly, Dear God, how are you looking at me now as I sit here before you in prayer? And I wonder, what does God desire for me now, in this moment, in this prayer, in this day, at this point in my life? Again, if I have no sense of God's desire for me, I ask him directly, Dear God, what do you desire for me now, in this moment, in this prayer, in this day, at this point in my life? I listen for God's response. And I ask God for my desire. What grace am I seeking from my prayer today? Longing for God. Thirst for his ways. Bliss. To know him more deeply. I ask God for the grace that I seek. And so I turn my attention to Julian's revelation for day 8 of our journey. And as I read slowly and attentively through the revelation, I stop to consider what word or phrase attracts my attention. I remain with this word or phrase, repeating it again and again in my mind. In her vision of Jesus' passion, Julian writes, I saw in Christ a double thirst, one physical and the other spiritual. For in so far as Christ is our head, he is glorious and impassible. But with respect to his body, to which all his members are joined, he is not fully glorified or wholly impassible. For he still has the same thirst and longing which he had upon the cross, which desire, longing, and thirst, as I see it, were in him from without beginning. And he will have this until the time that the last soul which will be saved has come up into his bliss. God's thirst is to have us generally drawn into him, and in that thirst he has drawn his holy souls who are now in bliss. And so, gathering his living members, always he draws and drinks, and still he thirsts and he longs. I reflect on the word or phrase that has caught my attention. What does this word or phrase mean to me? What does it make me feel? I savor it. I allow it to sink more deeply into my being. I talk to God about the word or phrase that has caught my attention. I tell God what this word or phrase means to me. And I tell God what this word or phrase makes me feel. I listen for God's response. I spend some time resting in God. Simply being still. Being still in God. Feeling His presence surround me. If there is more fruit to be drawn from the word or phrase that I have from the revelation, I remain with it. Otherwise, I turn to this scripture, John 4, verse 14, and Psalm 63, verse 1. And as I read slowly and attentively through the scripture, I notice. What new word or phrase catches my attention? I remain with that new word or phrase, repeating it again and again in my mind. Those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I reflect on the new word or phrase that has caught my attention. What does this word or phrase mean to me? What does this word or phrase make me feel? I savor it. I allow it to sink more deeply into my being. I talk to God about the new word or phrase that has caught my attention. I tell God what this word or phrase means to me. And I tell God what this word or phrase makes me feel. I listen for God's response. I spend some time resting in God. Simply being still. Being in God. Feeling his love enfold me. I have a conversation with God as one friend speaks to another about what has been moving me in this prayer. I gently and gradually draw my prayer to a close. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.